Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Arm Radio.
Well, good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. We're broadcasting live from the very Well Armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us in our weekly, vigorous, relentless, and typically ruthless pursuit of freedom. It's always my pleasure to Always my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well Armed Radio. And if you'd like to be a part of the show with your calls, ideas, questions, comments, criticism, feel free to call 563-999-3787. Again, that's 563-999-3787. Start the show with the usual warning, no sacred cows here. And first 15 minutes of the show is open line. That's your chance to call with anything you'd like to discuss. Remain of the show, appreciate your calls, but just keep it on topic to whatever we're discussing at the moment. And yeah, we'll take it from there. So this is one of those weeks where, you know, I've got some weeks I take tons or not take, I make a whole bunch of notes about things I'm going to talk about on the show that week and then go down my, turn my phone down here. And I'm going to apologize in advance because I might get a phone call that I have to take during the show here. So if I do, I'm going to throw the Well-Armed Radio theme song on because it should be just a short phone call. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I got, like I said, just a call that I can't miss. And I apologize for being rude and having to interrupt the show for that. We should give some shout outs here. Got Lon in the chat tonight. Lon, good to see you. And I guess I should, as long as I'm in here, go to the Well-Armed Radio, the Well-Armed Radio page and find the link to tonight's show. Well, did I even post it? Well, come on now. Well, I guess that's a problem. Excuse me. Looks like I didn't post a link to the show. So we're going to multitask here. We're going to get Blog Talk Radio up. And because what I usually do, obviously, is keep one eye on the show and on the show page. Copy that. Close that. Go back to MeWe, to the Well-Armed Radio page. Click the link in here. Paste the link. And Well-Armed Radio live now. All right. So that's up. we're all about professionalism here. So yeah, again, apologize if I end up having to ditch the show for a call because I've got an important one to come in. But this is one of those weeks where I didn't make a lot of notes during the week. Some weeks just I got a whole bunch of stuff on my things happen in the news, and so when they do, I drop down my I'll throw my notes in my little book. I have a spiral notebook that I keep in my kitchen because I'm spend a lot of time in the kitchen preparing food and whatever. And then I have my just a Word document open that I take my notes for the week on my computer. So if I'm at my computer, I jot it down there. But this week I didn't come up with, I actually didn't put anything down. I mean, there's so much going on. So many things to talk about with the transition of quote transition of power with you know, there's just so many different angles here. Some of these, I mean, they're going to be extensions of things we talked about last week. But yeah, some weeks I have all these topics queued up and I go right down my list of my notes. And then some weeks I don't. I do have a couple carryover topics from last week, and I'll probably start with those and then get into the remainder of the show. One of those carryover topics from last week's was Tony Evers. The last week, the DA from Kenosha came out and said that they wouldn't be charging the officer who shot Jacob Blake with a crime. One of the things that did happen this past week is Jacob Blake goes on Good Morning America. And it's just astounding. The comforting thing is I think most people realize it. The discomforting thing is there's certainly enough people that don't. But this Jacob Blake guy, so he goes on Good Morning America. And the teaser from Good Morning America talks about Jacob Blake, how he was getting in his car to drive, getting in his car that his kids were in when he was shot 5 times by a Kenosha police officer. And that's not even just misrepresenting what the situation was, but it's actually, it would give you the opposite impression. Jacob Blake was where he was because he was violating a restraining order. He had a restraining order against him for his, I guess, girlfriend or baby mama. He went to her house, shoved his finger in her vagina, pulled it out, said that it's without her permission, said that it smelled like she'd been with another man. That's the kind of guy Jacob Blake is. That's what she called the police on him for that. That's what he was charged with. Initially, that's the incident that she had a restraining order against him for. And when he was at her apartment the day that he got shot, he was violating his restraining order. The police were called. They tried to tase him. He pulls the taser probes out, struggles with, I guess he pulled them out twice, struggles with police. When they end up on the ground, his knife falls out. He picks up his knife. And once the knife falls out and he picks it up, now he's got a knife in his hand. Now the officers don't want to go hands-on with him because he's got a knife in his hand. So he's walking around the front of the car, the minivan, but that's not his minivan. He took her keys and had her kids, which are his kids too, but he's got a restraining order against him, get their shoes on and go get in the car, and he's going to leave. So essentially he's going to kidnap his kids. I mean, they're his kids, but he doesn't have custody of them, and that's kidnapping. I mean, parents often, you know, there's parents who've gone to jail for kidnapping their own kids. So yes, he was essentially going to kidnap his own kids. Excuse me. But then the rest you've seen the video. What you maybe did or didn't see in the video is when he's walking around the car, he's got the knife in his hand. So the police officers can't go hands on with him. If they try to grab him or something, all he's got to do is turn around and swing at them, and they're going to get slashed with a knife, which is obviously a severe bodily injury. I mean, so when he goes to get in the car, then the officer's choice is, do I let this guy get in the car and kidnap his own kids? Because with kids in the car, you're not going to chase the car. You're not going to pit the car. You know, that's a dangerous situation for the kids in the car. So again, Good Morning America makes it seem like this guy's, you know, down home American guy just getting in his car with his kids going for a family picnic. No, he was kidnapping his own kids. It wasn't his car. He doesn't have custody of the kids. He was violating a restraining order being there. And again, Good Morning America makes this guy out to be like a hero. I mean, and I didn't watch the show, but I'm just this is just from the sorry, I'm going to turn my computer sound down here some. There we go. This is just from the teasers that Good Morning America was running in advance. I think now I forget if it was Good Morning America or did I say the Today Show earlier? Anyway, I don't remember if it was Good Morning America or the Today Show. It was one or the other, but I saw the teasers that they were running, that they were going to have Jacob Blake on, the Kenosha man who was shot by police five times in the back when he was trying to get in his car and drive away with his kids. I mean, that's again the way they portrayed this thing. So, so the DA comes out and deems that this is justified, and I agree with that conclusion. You know, it's a tough situation. The officers might have chosen to not use deadly force and instead go hands-on with Jacob Blake and take their chances on not getting stabbed and slashed. But I don't think, they didn't make that choice. The officer didn't make that choice. And I'm not sure that I would even have hoped or expected that he would. I think it was a dangerous situation. Here's a guy getting ready to kidnap his own kids. He was violating restraining order. There's a lot of potential for death, great bodily harm there. You got to think about the kids as well. So I tend to agree with I'm in agreement with the DA's decision not to charge. But I think it's interesting that Tony Evers, I want to read this statement from Tony Evers. So the DA comes out and decides not to charge Jacob Blake. And I'm going to pose this question. How come when Republicans ask for a hearing to evaluate evidence of vote fraud, we hear from the news media it's undermining democracy and undermining our government and destructive to our society. But when Tony Evers rejects the conclusion that the shooting was justified in Kenosha and actually throws the county and the country under the bus, fomenting anger, fanning the flames of misplaced outrage, that isn't destructive to, quote, the fabric of our nation. I mean, it's such a double standard. I say this over and over. Hypocrisy and double standards are Democrat family values. I mean, that's what they live off of. But this is what Tony Evers said after the DA in Kenosha decided not to charge the officer who shot Jacob Blake. Tony Evers says, over the past year, our state and country have witnessed a movement, one that echoes hundreds of years of movements that have come before it, demanding justice, equality, and peace for Black lives. What is just as clear today as it has been is we have failed to deliver on these promises, both as a state and as a country. He said, this is Tony Evers, he said in a statement, Jacob Blake's life has forever been changed and his kids witnessed violence no kid should ever see, experienced trauma no kid should ever endure, all while the world watched. And yet, when presented the opportunity to rise to this moment and this movement and take action to provide meaningful common sense reform to enhance accountability and promote transparency in our policing and our state, elected officials took no action. Today's decision is further evidence that our work is not done. We must work each day in earnest towards a more just, more fair, and more equitable state and country, and to combat the racism experienced by Black Wisconsinites. I hope for peace and justice for Jacob, his family, and the entire Kenosha community. I reaffirm my commitment to action to build a more just, equitable state for every Wisconsinite, and I ask those who will exercise their right to assemble tonight in the days ahead to please do so peacefully and safely. All right, so that's Tony Evers, his comment after. And again, Republicans, we just ask for a hearing to evaluate evidence of vote fraud, and that's undermining democracy and undermining our government and destructive to our society. But Tony Evers rejects the conclusion of the Kenosha DA, a conclusion that was based upon the investigation from a Black former police chief, a Black liberal former police chief, and that was Noble Ray. Here's what the headline should read in all the newspapers. Tony Evers rejected conclusion of Black liberal former Madison police chief Noble Ray, whose expert opinion deemed deadly force was justified against Jacob Blake. That's what the headline should have been. Because Noble Ray is a big-time lib, he's Black, the former Madison police chief. So if he determines that deadly force was justified, who is Tony Evers to reject that? Which is exactly what Tony Evers did in his statement. And if you want to talk about something that's going to, and this, I made some of these notes on the before the Capitol chaos that occurred, but it's comments like that that I think more clearly foment the flames of anger. And now again, people have the right to assemble and people have the right to protest and they have the right to do, you know, don't have the right to burn and loot. But, you know, you can even, I agree with the decision. If you disagree with the decision, fine. You can protest what appears by all accounts to be a very well arrived at conclusion. I will say this, what it take 4 months for the DA to figure out they're going to charge a police officer for that one incident that was caught on two different videos of that incident, Jacob Blake. Took all of about 28 seconds. And it took the DA 4 months to decide whether or not to charge in that case, interview hundreds or actually there was only probably a dozen people that were a witness to that. I don't know how many they ended up interviewing, but actual witnesses, there was only maybe a dozen people. Again, not including people who saw the video, which is millions. But then you've got Kyle Rittenhouse, who was involved in an incident that took place over several minutes, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, maybe more. Dozens of different videos from different angles. It's not all captured on video. There's parts that that aren't captured on video, parts we can't see, parts that weren't clear in the video. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of witnesses. And they charged him with murder in less than 48 hours. So you want to talk about two Americas, two systems of justice. There's clearly one system of justice for police officers. And again, I think this was the right conclusion by the police. But when the Black Lives Matter crowd and the people that want to play the race card want to foment race angst and division, they talk about two Americas, two Americas. Yeah, there's two Americas. There's two Americas. There's one for the government class who gets a four-month investigation, careful investigation into the use of deadly force. And then there's Kyle, even though the whole thing was captured on two videos with about a dozen people watching and capturing their entirety on video. And then Kyle Rittenhouse gets charged with capital murder in less than 48 hours. No way the police could have interviewed the hundreds of witnesses. No way the police could have put together the dozens of videos and maybe more there might be hundreds of videos that include information from the Kyle Rittenhouse situation. So yeah, there's two Americas, all right. There's two Americas when if you're a liberal, you can say anything you want on social media and on the news. You can call on people to attack and assault conservatives. You can call on people to you can encourage people to donate money to bail out rioters. But of course, you can't donate money to Kyle Rittenhouse's defense. No, that's not allowed on social media, not allowed on GoFundMe, not. But yet the vice president, well, let's be honest, the actual president, the pseudo president of the United States, the president, what's the word? How am I going to describe this from now on? Because you guys know, excuse me, you guys know I call it the Harris Biden, excuse me, the Harris Obama administration. That's how I'm going to refer to the Biden administration, because Biden is an empty suit. The guy can't even, I mean, he's a bumbling idiot. He's so senile. He can't even, I bet you he couldn't tie his shoes without help. This is Kamala Harris's, is it Kamala or Kamala? There's one that she, I think it's Kamala. And so then everybody that doesn't like her calls her Kamala because she, Kamala Harris, she's going to be the one running the show here. She's the one that's connected to Obama. So I call this the Harris Obama administration. But so I think I'm going to refer to her as the de facto president. Maybe that's how I'll refer to Kamala Harris, the de facto president. The de facto president, maybe I should call her the acting president. I got to figure that out. I got to figure out for the next four. Well, it won't be 4 years because Joe Biden is going to make it 4 years. But what am I going to call Kamala Harris until they either exercise the 25th Amendment against Joe Biden or, you know, who knows what happens to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris becomes the president. I'm not sure, maybe acting president, maybe de facto president, maybe, I'll have to think about that one. But the vice president of the United States, the de facto president of the United States, is on TV encouraging people to donate to the defense of people that were arrested for rioting over the summer and burning and looting over the summer. She indicates that these people who are rioting and looting and protesting aren't going to stop. And then she says, and they shouldn't stop. That's on all kinds of interviews, TV interviews that she did. So this is what we've got here when we talk about two Americas. We've got two Americas, all right. Liberals that can say anything they want on social media, liberals that have freedom of speech, conservatives that don't, liberals that have a system of justice that bends over backwards to accommodate them. Two Americas, a system of justice where the government class gets treated differently than the citizen class. Excuse me. So yeah, we've got two Americas, all right. But I want to read some of these. And when you hear the things that people were saying after the Jacob Blake decision, you have to scratch your head and say, wow. And they say that Republicans questioning the election integrity. Just, I'm going to take a side note here. How come when the Madison Capitol, maybe I said this last week, when the Madison Capitol was breached by protesters, because remember it was occupied first for like, I think it was, I've now heard 6 weeks. The Madison Capitol was occupied for a long period of time by all the protesters. Then they cleared them out so they could clean the place because the bums had moved in and were, you know, clogging up the toilets and shitting in the sinks and all this sort of stuff. So they cleaned everybody out to sanitize the Capitol. And then they end up having a hearing in the Senate chamber and the union thugs break in and at that point storm the Capitol, coming through windows, storming the Capitol, banging on the door of the Senate chamber, chanting, this is what democracy looks like. So I guess two Americas, when you're a liberal protesting Republicans, you can storm a Capitol and that's what democracy looks like. When you're a Republican and you storm the Capitol. Now, obviously in the Madison situation, no police officers were hit in the head with fire extinguishers and killed. And so, I mean, there was a difference in DC, but, only minimal in those very few instances. Otherwise, the act of storming the Capitol happened to both. But again, that's what democracy looks like when you have people storming the Capitol in Madison because they're liberals. But in D.C., when people storm the Capitol, it's a siege, it's a insurrection, it's sedition, it's all those things. And it's just, let's put that. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he was quoted as saying, "I wish I could say that I'm shocked." This is a tweet. "I wish I could say that I'm shocked. It's another instance in a string of misapplications of justice. It keeps happening, and there's always a new excuse. The non-prosecuting DAs are as negligent as the officers in these situations." So that's what Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said after a black liberal police chief, Noble Ray, deemed that the shooting was justified. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Here's the thing I was saying is, I can't think of a way. I hear people say systemic racism, systemic. I mean, I'll tell you what's systemic in this country. The systemic discrimination in this country occurs against conservatives. The systemic discrimination in this country occurs against Republicans. The systemic discrimination in this country occurs against free market capitalists. And I can't think of anything more. Look, I'll tell you a story. I know a person who, they told me this story. They happen to be black. And they were talking about how they were, I don't remember, now it's been a while. They were either walking down the street or they were at the gym. Maybe it was the gym. And they went to talk to someone and the person like gave them the cold shoulder and avoided them. And they thought it was because they were black. Now here's the thing. If I go down and walk down the street, or I'm at the gym and I go to talk to a girl and she gives me kind of a cold shoulder, I think, oh, she just thinks I'm a creep because girls at the gym, there's some snotty girls at the gym that just think they're all that. And you try to talk to them, even if you're not trying to creep on them, even if you're not trying to, you're just making conversation and they act all high and mighty and they don't want to talk to you. When a girl does that to me, I just think, oh, she's a stuck up bitch. But when a girl does it to this person I know, their conclusion was that she's racist. And here's the thing. When you grow up your whole life and people tell you, oh, racist, racist, the world's racist, the whole country's racist, systemic racism, you're going to find that in everybody. Whether it's there or not, you're going to find it. So, yeah, it's just, the wake of this Jacob Blake shooting, seeing the response. And then the media, I mean, again, I can't say that I'm surprised at the reaction. I can't. We all know the media for what it is. But, yeah, here we go. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. "In the aftermath of the shooting, I said that Blake's wounds were the result of systemic racism, the policies and practices that entangle our institutions and produce racial disparate outcomes, regardless of the intentions of the people who work within them. Today's announcement highlights just how pervasive these systemic problems are and the threat they pose to the lives of black and brown residents. The likelihood an everyday citizen not facing charges after shooting someone in the back on video is slim to none. That shouldn't change for the police. When the police are above the law, that means it is time to look at changing the law to make sure officers are held accountable." I mean, here, NAACP, "An unarmed black man was sprayed with bullets by police. His children were watching, and once paralyzed by the gunshots, he was left handcuffed to a hospital bed," President Derek Johnson said in a statement. "What are we supposed to tell our children tonight who feel unsafe every single day? Today's announcement for Kenosha is shameful and disgusting and only proves how much work still needs to be done. This is far too familiar to the black community. Jacob Blake's life matters. Black lives matter." Well, first off, to the NAACP, Jacob Blake wasn't unarmed. He was armed with a knife. Second off, yeah, his children were watching, the children he was about to kidnap. Third off, the once paralyzed by gunshots, he was left handcuffed to a hospital bed. Standard operating procedure for someone who's under arrest for violating a restraining order and the victim culture is just so strong. I mean, it's just so strong. And, between that, between seeing the double standard applied and this attempt to impeach Trump again, I mean, the media is so... I'll tell you what I did. And I think, was it this week? Yeah, it was this week. For the first time ever this week, I turned down a request for an interview from a Madison radio station, Madison TV station wanted to interview me for supposedly these upcoming armed protests that are supposedly going to take place at all these capitals all around the country. Excuse me. They keep saying that, you know, there's all these armed insurrections planned at all the state capitals. So a reporter from Channel 3 in Madison, which I think is it WISC TV? Anyway, Channel 3, or maybe it was 3000. I can't remember. Reporter from Madison calls me this week and she's like, "Hey Nick, we want to do a story on, with the planned armed protests that are supposed to take place on the Capitol grounds. We want to do a story on the laws with regard to gun laws on Capitol property." Now, I'm not stupid, but two things here. So I declined the interview. I said, "You know what? I'm not interested in being interviewed. I don't appreciate the way you guys represent these issues. I don't think it's honest." I didn't call her fake news, but I said, "You know what? I'm not interested in being part of that." And she kind of seemed taken aback, and she's like, "Oh," and you know, I hung up the phone. I didn't sit there and wait for her to say anything else. But here's the thing. I know these guys well enough. I know these teachers, I know these news directors well enough. What they really want to do is they want to get me on there, and they want to do stories about these armed protests in advance of the armed protests to conjure up fear and angst and anxiety about the protests. If they don't do stories about these planned armed protests, they won't be able to gin up fear and anxiety amongst people in Madison. But they want to amp up the fear and anxiety in advance of them. And they also want to promote them, because I think that the Democrats want something bad to happen, because the Democrats are masterful at using crises for political advantage, just masterful at it. And so when they ask me to do this interview, what they really want to do is they want to put a story front and center. They want to have someone who's an authority on gun laws. They don't really care about the gun laws on the Capitol grounds. They could care less. I'll tell you what they care about. They care about putting a story out there. Look, anybody that's going to the Capitol for these armed protests that some people are saying are just Antifa chatter. Some people are saying it's phony, promoted by, you know, Antifa groups trying to get a bunch of armed conservatives to show up so they can infiltrate them like they did in DC and get them to do things they might not have otherwise usually done. But they don't care about the gun laws in the Capitol grounds. Here's what they want to do. They want to say to me, "Oh, so Mr. Clark," and they don't want to come out and say this, but I know the angles they're going to take. Because you could say, "Oh, it's absurd. There's going to be armed protests. People want to know about the laws of carrying on the Capitol." Bullshit. People that are going to, if there are people that are going to go there, armed gun owners, they know the laws. They don't need someone like me to go on and tell them. Second off, it's Madison TV, so the people in Madison aren't going to be, the viewing audience of those television stations aren't the one that's going to be grabbing their gun and going to the Capitol for an armed protest. But what they want to do is I'll tell you what they want to ask me the question. "Hey, Nick, so is it legal to carry an assault rifle on Capitol grounds?" And they want to have me say yes. And then what they want to do is they would have asked me something like, "Do you think there'll be people there carrying assault weapons?" And my honest response would be yes. I wouldn't say that, because what I would end up saying was, I've been to the Capitol for a half dozen protests over the past, 10 years. And at every single one of them, there was armed individuals. But see, that's not going to give them the the fear factor, the fear-mongering factor that they want. So then that answer, though, would indicate that, yes, there would. So then in the voiceover, the reporter would say, Nick Clark from Wisconsin, Carrie, says that it's likely that people, or almost certain that people with will have assault rifles on the Capitol grounds for these armed protests, which, again, then I can't call her and say, hey, I didn't say that, because if there are indeed these armed protests, there probably will be people carrying AR-15 platform rifles, because every time I've gone to Madison, I was at Madison for the reopen the state rally. What was that one called? I can't remember. It was a ending the lockdowns rally that was in the spring. I forget if that was April or May. I don't remember exactly what date it was, but yeah, that was just that was a protesting the lockdown rally, reopen the state rally, and there was all kinds of people armed there, walking with, you know, every time I've gone to Madison for any kind of rally or protest, any conservative or pro-gun or whatever, there's always been. So my honest answer to that reporter would be, yeah, there'll be people there with AR platform rifles. And that's what they want. That's what they want, because they want to put that picture in everybody's head that there's going to be a bunch of people with assault rifles on the Capitol grounds, and oh my God, and probably amp up the fear and justify, you know, putting metal fencing with razor wire up around the Capitol to protect the Capitol. I mean, that's what these guys are angling for. You see in D.C. they got all these barricade fences going up with barbed razor wire on top of them. I mean, and just. And I wanted to take a screenshot of one of them and post and say, this is Biden's America. Welcome to Joe Biden's America. Cause that's what you got here. what else do I got here tonight? I'm going to skip that one. There was one, you know, I'm going to just be frank with you guys. I put 90 minutes in for the show tonight, but, I've had a little bit of a chest cold, don't think it's Rona for about the past 3-4 days. So I am probably going to cut the show short tonight. This is probably the shorter show. What have we got? We had 90 minutes in. I'm 40. So I've only done 38 minutes of the show so far, but yeah, I'm just, I don't want to wear out my voice and get myself too hoarse here from talking for too long. But, you know, it's the inauguration's this week. You know, just in closing here, and when I say closing, I may talk about this for the next 10 or 15 minutes. I sit here and I think, well, actually, no, there's one other thing I want to talk tonight. And I mentioned this in the Wisconsin Carrie page. Actually, you know what? Now I have to think about it. I've got a couple more topics I should do here before I sign off. A lot of people think that these people in D.C., were just the people that stormed the Capitol were just Antifa, a bunch of, you know, small number of radical right wingers. But I mean, if you look at the people that have been arrested now, did you know that there was a Olympic gold medal winning swimmer who was in the Capitol, who's now been arrested for being in the Capitol? I found this on social media. His name is Cleet Keller. He was on the former Olympic swimming gold medalist. Cleet Keller was hit with federal charges Wednesday for his role in last week's U.S. Capitol riot, according to new court papers. So here's the people that were, and this is what I've been trying to share with you. Well, my first thought when I was heard about the Capitol being penetrated, not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, the first thing that went through my mind was good. I mean, the first thing that went through my mind was, I hope that DC realizes how angry people are. Now, at the time, I didn't know that anybody was shot or anybody was hurt. I just thought that it was a protest in DC, like we'd had protests in Madison. And this time it was just conservatives. So I thought, hey, if they sit there and occupy I thought maybe they were going to occupy the Capitol, and then the Capitol wouldn't be able to have their electoral college. You know, that's what in Madison, the Republicans, or excuse me, in Madison, the Democrats fled to Illinois and prevented action on Act 10 back in 2011. So my first thought was, hey, at least these people in D.C. are going to see how mad people really are, how mad people really are. Here's the takeaway that I see. There's firefighters that were in D.C. that went into the Capitol. There's I don't think there was CEOs of companies that went into the Capitol. There were CEOs of companies at the protest. But there was, look at Ashley Babbitt, the girl that was shot, Iraq war veteran, Air Force veteran, four tours of duty, from California. She was a Trump supporter. I mean, she's not some Antifa, she was a Trump supporter. That should be the takeaway for politicians is that, and even Republican conservative pundits on Newsmax or otherwise, there are some very mainstream conservative / Republican leaning voters that are super pissed off about all of this. There is anger out there that the politicians are woefully failing to recognize. People are so angry and so frustrated. So I don't think that what happened in D.C. is going to be the last big thing that happens. I think there's so much anger out there. There's going to be more big things. Here's a question I pose. You know, every single person with a microphone, Newsmax, anchors, Newsmax, what do you call the Newsmax, the people that have their shows, Newsmax analysts, Newsmax pundits, because I watch a lot of Newsmax TV. They're all sitting there talking about how violence is never the answer. Violence is never the answer. Violence is never the answer. And I sit there and I think to myself, you know, at some point, that's just not a true statement. The Second Amendment, by its very nature, the Second Amendment is about preventing tyranny. And for the Second Amendment to have any power, there has to come a point where violence is. I thought Vicki McKenna said it good, because when she was on her show, she said, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that violence is never the answer. She goes, for example, if someone attacks me and I pull out my concealed carry gun and I have to shoot them to protect myself, I'm perfectly fine with that violence. So I kind of like that perspective. Just her reminding people that this whole violence is never okay, violence is never okay, that's just not exactly true. Because if the Second Amendment is to have any power at all, there has to be a point when violence is morally justified. And again, I'm not saying we're at that point. But to say violence is never okay, that just can't be true. If you push that, and if that becomes the standing agreement, then the Second Amendment has no teeth. There is no teeth to the Second Amendment if the liberals know that conservatives would never use violence. You know, freedom-minded folks would never use violence. So again, I'm not calling on people to use violence, but it's just something I've been thinking about. When I hear this so many times over the past couple of weeks, violence is never the answer, violence is never the answer. Well, at some point, it might be. You know, and I'm not saying we're at that point, but at some point it might be. If you believe in the Second Amendment, you'd have to acknowledge that at some point it might be. So, but that's another takeaway, I think, that people should realize that these people that were in D.C., that went into the Capitol, there's some mainstream, successful, you know, the people steaming mad about the election fraud, they're not radicals. They're normal people, successful people. And Republican politicians who think that no longer speaking of election fraud is going to make the anger go away, I think they're sadly mistaken. And it's only a shame that they won't have to polish their resume for 2 years. The House of Representative races, those are not statewide races, and they don't have to have the big city they don't have to overcome the big city margin of fraud. So we can oust these feckless Republicans. These Republicans that voted in favor of impeaching Trump, those people need to be out so quickly the next election. And those are still elections, the races that we can win, because, again, I'm of the opinion that statewide races, especially here in Wisconsin, until we get some kind of election reform, we can't win a statewide race. We can't win a statewide race because the margin of fraud in Milwaukee, the fraud machine in Milwaukee is well tuned enough to be able to come up with a margin of victory bigger than we could possibly muster up as conservatives. I don't think we can win the governor. I don't think we can win a state Supreme Court race. But U.S. House of Representative races, those don't run through Madison and Milwaukee. Some do, like Gwen Moore's district, that's on the ballot in Milwaukee. So the Milwaukee County clerk is counting those. The Milwaukee City clerk is counting those ballots. But whether it's Glenn Grove, look, Glenn Grothman, I think Glenn Grothman needs to go. He's real squishy. I've heard him talking lately, and I just don't think he's got that conservative Republican fighter, freedom fighter mentality. Who's the guy up north? Is it Gallagher? Yeah, Mike Gallagher. He needs to go. He voted against impeachment, but with his rhetoric, criticizing Trump, blaming Trump the night of the Capitol chaos, I thought that was real pathetic of him. When he didn't even know what really happened, he just was going on the media sensationalization. One thing of comfort here that I would say to you guys is that there's a whole lot of people really pissed off right now. And you can take comfort in that there's people, you know, there's 74 million people, probably 80 million people after you realize what, adjustments to the tabulations happened with these voting machines. I think it's probably likely that more like 80 million people voted for Trump. But those 80 million people feel just the same way that you and I do. They're just as frustrated. They're just as mad. They're just as feel the institutions have failed them. And that's just too many people. That's too much anger to go away. It's not going to go away. So we got to remember. And we got to just continue to, again, and I don't know the answer because how do I tell people? I mean, look, we can't win Wisconsin. I think we're screwed. I mean, we can't win a governor's race. And I don't hear anything coming from Madison. Seeing what I saw come from Madison last week with their kowtowing coronavirus relief bill that they want Governor Evers to sign. So they're trying to do everything Governor Evers wants. I mean, we don't have anybody in Madison. We have Republican majorities in the state Senate and state assembly. They're not freedom fighters. So, yeah, I mean, Wisconsin, I just think we're screwed. I just don't think there's anything that we can do here to win a statewide race. And I don't think there's going to be anything done here that's going to give us the opportunity to have fair and free elections. Maybe the courts. Maybe Hagedorn punted on the U.S. Election fraud cases, but maybe there's some cases that can be brought that he will hear, that the Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear, and through the litigation process, we can restore fair elections in Wisconsin. But otherwise, I just don't see how we get from there to here. I don't see how we get back to a time when we have honest elections in Wisconsin for statewide races. Again, I'm not concerned that here out in New Berlin, the school board race is going to be tainted by vote fraud. But any statewide race, which means U.S. Senate, governor, and Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, those are three things that I don't, and president. I don't think Wisconsin could possibly, with this vote fraud, margin of fraud, we can't elect a Republican governor. We won't be giving our electoral votes for a Republican president. We won't have a U.S. senator, a Republican U.S. senator. And we won't have a conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court justice because all those races are statewide races that are impacted by the ability of Madison and Milwaukee to inject fraudulent votes into the system and overcome any amount of enthusiasm and whatever that might be out there. So yeah, it's a frustrating place to be here in Wisconsin as a new legislative session begins with Republican majorities in the Senate and the Assembly and nothing that's going to get done. In fact, I just think they're going to tuck tail and appease Tony Evers. And, you know, that's disappointing and frustrating, but that's what it's going to be. So anyway, all right, you guys, sorry for the short show. Sorry for the crappy show. I'm just a little under the weather today and topics aren't flowing for me. So maybe we'll be, hopefully next week I'll be feeling better and we'll do it again. Lon, thanks for tuning in. Great to chat or great to see ya. You guys have a great week. Carry on. Be well armed.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.